First, though, could I read to you from Psalm 9? Psalm 9, beginning at verse 15. One of the many mentions in the Psalms of the word the heathen, or in other translations you'll know that it is rendered the nations. Psalm 9, verse 15. And I ask you, as we read it, to consider the lostness of the heathen nations. It's so vital to consider it with compassion and care. The lostness of the nations. The heathen, the nations, are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higeon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen nations be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Or let us consider that. Let us think on that. In these verses, I ask you to consider the lostness of the nations at the end of this missionary evening. Verse 15, we read, they are sunk down in the pit that they made. The net which they hid is their own foot taken. God sees to it that man is ensnared in the very seed and net that he has sown. It is poetic justice because it is a principle, whether it is in soil or in our souls, that as a man sows, that shall he reap. Verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. He is snared in the work of his own hands. Think on that. Consider it well. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know that that word there is God, Elohim, not to Jehovah. Here it is the Creator God, not the Savior, Jehovah God, the nations that forget God. But in verse 19, arise, O Lord, and let not man prevail. And again in verse 20, let them but know themselves to be but men. And that word there, men, is simply the word Enosh, mere mortal man. You say then, why should I ask you to consider these verses as I ask you to consider one of the world's great nations and the world's most populous nation, China? Well, the nations of the world are becoming increasingly aggressive, they're becoming increasingly arrogant, and they are becoming increasingly angry. And the day in which our lot is cast will see a rise of these attitudes. For we have come to the end of the days of empire. The empire has waxed and waned. Whether you are again or for the days of British Empire, to me, is irrelevant. But you will have to admit that it was through the glory of the fact that the empire was founded upon the Word of God, that it opened up avenues for the gospel to be carried to the far-flung corners of the earth. But those days have finished. We thank God for them. And any of you who have had any relationship with the British Empire will not be critical, cynical, or otherwise, but will say, thank God. For those of us who have lived and had and enjoyed the benefits that always accompanied the spread of the British Empire, and in our particular case, in Hong Kong, know that we had a wonderful colony on the edge of China that must eventually go back to China. There in that little colony, very small area of space, but with nigh on 7 million people, the British Empire left and the Union Jack was lowered in 1997. Those of us who have spent many years, myself, 35 years there, we wept as we came to this, the end of an era. One of my sons was in the handover ceremony. It was a tremendously affecting time to us, for we knew that things would change. But we thank God for all that has been before. For Hong Kong, for 256 years, was an open door into China. As you know, China's history is a relatively brief history when we consider her as a nation modern. Really, it is only this century that has seen China have modern amenities, has seen China ancient brought, as it were, screaming into the modern age. And really, China's modern history is less than 100 years. For in 1911, Sun Yat-sen overthrew the last of the dynasties of China. The Qing dynasty fell, and then from that time on, began a little period of time when that Christian leader, we thank God that he was educated and baptized, Sun Yat-sen, but was soon, due to his own ill health, to pass off the scene. China then descended into civil war. And so China is not at all a modern country. And yet today, because of the vast, massive infusions of foreign capital into China, there is this semblance in the great cities of China of modernism. But China, with her 4,000 years of clear recorded history, is an ancient civilization. And no modern man will bully China, and no modernisms will change China overnight, for she is an ancient civilization. But in these 100 years, the gospel, and those of you who have followed the gospel that has been carried by intrepid missionaries into China, has had a wonderful, wonderfully lasting effect upon the world's most populous nation. As you know, there are at least 1,200 million Chinese on the mainland. We would say that there are far more because there is a whole strata of society that is not recorded. So, over 1.2 billion. There are 55 million overseas Chinese, of which the Cantonese have had a great effect in spreading their language to the four corners of the earth. Most restaurants we visit, whether in UK, Europe, Australia, North America, most of them are Cantonese, Canton, because they have a saying in China, if you want to eat, go to Guangzhou. Well, it doesn't really suit now, because if you want to eat, you have to go to Hong Kong. The best cooks are really there. But China is not a modern country. China has this long history. But now China has to face this great possession she has in her hands of nationalism. So I directed you to this scripture to consider the nations of the world. The empire days have finished. Nationalism is on the rise and will increase. The nations of the world will become increasingly aggressive and angry. For the nations of the world feel, and the large nations of the world, India will soon pass the billion mark, feel that it is soon their turn. For years they have suffered the indignity and the humiliation from Western invasion. And On the mainland today, young people are still taught in the schools never to forget the indignity that was inflicted upon them from the Opium Wars. Now, opium existed far many years before Britain simply developed it and used it as a means of enterprise into China. But because of the treaty ports that were placed in China, because of the humiliation that they suffered, they have never forgotten it. And under the Communist Party of China today, young people are still taught we must await our time, and the Western world must be humiliated for what they did to China. I am amazed as I move around to find that many of my friends believe all that is said in the Western papers. I'm continually amazed that people believe the press. I'm continually amazed that people in the free world believe the communist regime of China. For those of you who have had anything to do with communism, you will know that the very basis of their policy is based on a lie. Because those two great men of this century, Karl Marx and Charles Darwin, combined to form a basis whereby more men and women were brutalized in this century than any others before. For through the sciences and through politics, this horrendous system provided the basis whereby Stalin is responsible for more than 15 million deaths. But Chairman Mao Zedong, is responsible, it is reliably recorded, for more than 80 million deaths. But even such large figures do not really give you a clear understanding of the issues involved in China today. China is intent on becoming a world power. She believes that her rightful place in the world scene is that of a superpower. And I encourage you tonight, dear friends, to remember that every privilege we have in Australia, every freedom that we enjoy by grace alone. But at great sacrifice, those who went before us sacrificed much. That the very hall that you sit in this evening, through sacrificial giving and preparation, we enter into those privileges. It does rather amaze me, though, to think that in our Western world, in our free world, we are prepared to accept what is presented to us as truth outside of the Word of God. For it is this alone that will protect us from the coming days. And as we see nationalism rise and raise its ugly head, only those who are acquainted with the principles of God will be preserved. Therefore, this evening, I want to leave this little impression with you as to the work of the Lord in this vast land of China. I was able, just a few years back, to purchase and add to the work, the literature work that we have already had been actively involved in, I was able to add to it an old book room that was being sold by a missionary sister who had to return back to Canada. This book room is the oldest book room, 75 years. For that reason, I told you the length of Christian testimony in China. And from very humble beginnings, when this brother would print some tracts and would sit in a marketplace and by the post office in China, in central China. From humble beginnings began a work that was to have a tremendous influence upon gospel testimony in China. And I thank God that as the result of witnessing and experiencing older brothers and sisters who had been faithful in this work, I was able to get an impression in my own soul of how important is the printed page. I would say that the most valuable thing that I have today in China is a network of brethren that I've come to know and to respect and to admire, who have suffered for their faith. I say this because Christian testimony in China today is still that of being under surveillance, under control by a communist power. The gospel is not welcome in China today. This is because the state purports to present as to the open world what Christianity actually is. So we have the state church and we have the house church movement. The house church movement has millions and millions of believers who will not register with government. And the reason being that they refuse to have appointed pastors sent by central control into their home house churches. This same state of affairs existed in England only 311 years ago. For it was only 311 years ago that Britain passed the Toleration Act. Prior to this time, the Stuart kings slaughtered, and especially in Scotland, those who would not accept that they must be registered to preach. And if you were to visit some of the grave sites, as I have in Scotland, you will see, placed on their tombstones, so-and-so died to preserve the sovereign rights of Jesus Christ as head of the church. They would rather have laid down their lives than confuse the issue that state controls the spiritual life, conscience of the believer. And so persecution ensued. That is where China is today. You will know that from history that John Bunyan spent years in prison, 12 particular years in a Bedford jail, because he refused. You all know that he was in prison. And it was during those years that he did much of his many writings, including The Pilgrim's Progress. But for what was he placed in prison? Because he refused to register as a preacher. He refused that he needed a license to preach the gospel. Then came the Toleration Act. There is no such Toleration Act in China today. The most valuable thing next to the Word of God that I have in China today is the network of brethren and sisters who would rather suffer, who would rather be persecuted than deny the right of Jesus Christ to be head and Lord in their church. It's a tremendous thing, dear brethren and sisters, tonight to be in the midst of brothers and sisters who say, I have found something more precious than life. Jesus Christ is Lord. They've sent deep roots down into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They love one of the classic books of this century. And it's my joy to be privileged to present these classic books that are part of our Western heritage in their own national language. Why, you know, I don't know when you last read True Discipleship by our brother William MacDonald, a classic for this century. OM, Operation Mobilization, Open Doors, all of those movements outside of assemblies make it compulsory reading to read True Discipleship. And Mr. MacDonald's latest edition, My Heart, My Soul, My All, companion to it. For you see, this heritage presented to the church in China today is a priceless heritage. And the fruit of that literature raises up men and women who count not their lives precious to themselves. For they say, I've found something more precious than life. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord and Saviour to me. To me it is a great and wonderful thing to be in the presence of a brother and sister, maybe in your presence. I hope so, dear friend. When you say that you are willing to accept the consequences of your faith, be it death or life. For the true witness does not sink down into the hopelessness of suicide and say, well, woe is me. The true witness says, Jesus Christ is Lord and has brought me to this point. If it means that I must accept death rather than life, I accept it. Faith brought me here, and here I stand. December of last year, one of our co-workers in Guangzhou, a brother called Brother Lee, was finally arrested. He'd been arrested many times. I've been arrested with him on other occasions also. I've seen him attacked and beaten, him holding his Bible as they broke his ribs, as they tried to break his speaking apparatus, as they tried to attack his kidneys and his liver. On this occasion, he had been warned for 3 years they were coming to arrest him. Like a pregnant woman prepares for maternity, he had his little bag ready. Every time, at every meeting, there was a bag at any of the preaching points. And on this occasion, they came for Brother Lee. They came with more than 20 vans to arrest him. For in this one particular preaching point that we often go to, there are more than 600 people gather to hear him. Illegal, totally illegal, because it is not a registered church. He has been arrested. Why do you preach outside of your own area? You cannot be itinerant. You cannot move. Register with government. We'll give you a church. You cannot do what you're doing. He says, if I must die, I must die. I must preach Christ. I must preach. On this occasion, they came for him. Older sisters, faithful, dear, faithful sisters, stood up and said, take me. Don't take him. He's more useful than I. And they said, no. This time he must be arrested. They called out to him and they said, Brother Lee, what do we do? What do you want us to do? They brought the 20 vans, for they expected there to be a riot. Brother Lee said, pray. Just pray. I need your prayers. 600 people fell to the ground and began to pray. They took him away. 20 vans for one person. Later, as he was chained and standing before the PSB, the party secretary said to him, you really do wield power. How is it that you can speak and 600 people react in such a way? And he said, it is no cultic power, for they wanted to infer that he was one of the many cults in China today. There are many, many, many heresies that have made inroads into China. Brother Lee said, though, it is not a cultic power that I have. It is because they honour the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they fear him, not you, they fear him. Oh, the word fear antagonizes the Communist Party. Immediately they shout at you. They shouted at him on this occasion, Brother Lee told me. For I visited him the first day when he was released from prison in Guangzhou. And he said, they shouted at me and they said, why don't you fear us? Here you're under our control. And he laughed at them and he said, you've arrested me. What more can you do? And he quoted to them that great scripture. Fear not them that kill the body. And after that, have naught more they can do. Fear not them that kill the body. Fear them. Fear him that has power to cast into hell. Fear God. Which reminds me to tell you tonight of the three principles by which we live under a communist authority. These three principles always are kept before the minds of those who are living witnesses for Christ today. For you know that the word witness in the original means martos. It simply means even to that point. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is the witness of Jesus Christ in the world today. The vessel, the medium whereby God is witnessing to the world is through the living members of the living body of Christ. First principle, fear them not. The moment we fear the communist, we are finished. I can remember being arrested, and I've never in my life, after several hours, your knees begin to knock and you feel you get a post, whatever it is, syndrome afterwards, and you have this reaction and you fear. Waves of fear come over you. And yet we've been told in the Word of God, fear not. And at least 365 times in the Word of God. And I love to tell my Chinese brethren, remember, it's there again and again, at least one for every day of the year. Fear not. Remember the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Fear them not. The moment you fear, then at that point, Satan uses that great weapon in his arsenal, fear. But the amazing thing is that the communist fears the Christian testimony. It is they that are afraid of the more than 50 million believers meeting outside of government control. With their few millions in the state church, 10, 11, 12 million that are registered and under control. For those, the charismatic movement says there are 80 million. The more conservative, Tony Lambert, a friend of mine in OMF, he says that the just way is to reckon 50 million. Fear them not, for they're afraid of the Christian testimony. They're afraid. They're afraid of its growth. They're afraid of the fact that today millions and millions are seeking Christ in China today. As a result of the vacuum left from the failed policies of the Communist Party, from the failed policies of Chairman Mao, that thrust the Chinese nation into awful economic reforms that caused the most horrendous droughts that ever came to China. As a result of those failed policies, millions are seeking Christ today. Why, many, many of the Chinese who are heading for these shores, who have headed for these shores. Many of them are children of communist cadres who have, by their own parents, been encouraged to leave China. Fear them not. Point two, believe them not. The moment you believe a communist, you have already begun down the slippery path of failure in your own faith's confidence in God. Why, the very principles of communism are all versed in atheistic, communistic lie. For the platform of communism is evolution. They've believed a lie, and therefore all of their statistics are lie. Their very presentation in the China Daily is a lie. Why and how our Western world could ever, ever believe such presentation is beyond me. Thirdly, fear them not, believe them not, and accept nothing from them, even to a glass of water. For from every benefit received from the communist, there will always be a thread of relationship. It is better to never ask or never become government dependent under an atheistic communist authority. And so it is a wonder and it is a thrill to see men and women who have faced this in their own lives. And who say, as I've already said to you, I have found something far, far more precious than life itself. Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm ready to suffer for him. I'm ready to be persecuted for him. I'm ready to be reviled for him. For he is Lord of all of my life. It is a very wonderful thing to see that, for that is China's hope for tomorrow. The salt of the earth, the light of the world in China today, is the people of God. It is a wonderful thing to see amidst the corruption and violence, amidst the ensuing confusion, amid the fragility that exists in this, the world's largest populated nation. It's a wonderful thing to see the salt of the earth, the people of God. And that is true, is it not? Even in this land, this fair, privileged land, the salt of the earth. And oh, what it did for my soul today to be here and to hear the brethren give their testimony and to speak of eternal things. Brethren, that's the same gospel that we preach to the Chinese. I'm not much of a Bible teacher, but there's one thing I love to do, and I love to present the gospel. For this great text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, no Reformed theology, no Calvinism, no election in salvation, please. Whosoever believes on him shall be saved. I've seen it. Heaven or hell, eternity. Why, it was in this city, wasn't it? And it's gone around the world many times, of that one man, a simple man, but in his faithfulness, something that he could do. I know where he even got it from, the dear man. But it was something that he could do. And what was it that he could do? He could write on the footpaths, eternity, eternity. Because it is true, and it's real. It's real for the Chinese nation too. Eternity, eternity. Where will you be in eternity? Heaven or hell? And it's eternal. It's eternal. Less than that is a false presentation of the gospel. But all are on the broad road to destruction. And yet God, in gracious, glorious provision of grace and love, has provided an open door. I am the door, that if any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. And by faith we entered in. And by that exercise of faith, by my putting my trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God saved my soul. Oh, what a salvation. What a gospel. What a Savior. and it's true in China also. Some of the work that we do, we've nearly finished. I'll try to be short by name and short by nature. Is that some of us have always believed in posters. For in China, you it's wise among the many to say something and to leave it so that on the walls of the homes of believers, they can put even the Ten Commandments. You say not much gospel in the Ten Commandments? Why, there's a wonderful gospel in the Ten Commandments. The day of rest. Of course there's rest, isn't there? There's rest in Jesus Christ. Those that have entered in by faith enter into the rest of forgiveness of sins. Marvellous to have on the walls, and to have on the wall when they have their friends come in to preach. Let me tell you the story about this little poster. 10 years ago, I took it down to a little island called Hainan Island. It's the smaller island of China's two big islands. Formosa is the large one, Taiwan. Hainan Island is the most southern, court personalities who fell out of pleasure with the emperor were all condemned to go to Hainan Island. A deer, it's on the map there. Yeah, thank you. I was down in Hainan just a few months ago, and we took down a whole bundle of these with a view to printing thousands more in several different areas. And one aged sister said, and she brought out this poster. She'd had it for years. She'd folded it up and glued it that it was like a patchwork quilt. It simply says, Xin Liu, Chang Liu, finished. Finished. That's all it says. And then read John's Gospel. Finished. And she said, you know, I love this one so much. On the buses or wherever I can, and I've never had it taken from me, I bring it out and I tell them, Deng Xiaoping could never say that. Chairman Mao could never say that. Then she would relate, you know, no one can ever say that. It's finished. No man ever says, I finished my work, because it was never finished. And then she would say, you know, only the Lord Jesus Christ could ever say, it is finished. And this is what he finished. And then away she would go. And so we're able to have the joy of seeing her have another one to replace that from which she preaches and shares the gossips, the gospel, again and again. Many others, the two-way charts. I can take you and show you around China how these are now taken out into the villages, put onto the walls of their homes. An evangelist can preach from these for a week on end, can preach on the blood of the cross. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God's aspect of the blood, having made peace through the blood of the cross, from God's aspect, not we making it, ours by faith, now by faith in the blood, the message of the blood, forgiveness through the blood. Why, that can be put on the wall and can be preached from again and again and again. Because millions in China today are still illiterate. Communist Party says that they have reduced it very much. But that is always inaccurate. Millions and millions are still without a clear, comprehensive handling of their own script. As you know, there's only one written script for all of China. Although there are different dialects, the one good thing is that there is one written character. But that means that in Hong Kong we have to print and publish in the classical character, but also in the simplified character. Because Chairman Mao reduced some of the more complex characters by taking out some of the strokes. So therefore we have one rather large warehouse full of simplified characters, the simplified text of literature to be carried into China. As you'll know, because of our theological beliefs, we believe in the New Testament Assembly. We do not believe, as I've already told you, we do not believe in Reformation theology. We go back beyond the Reformation, not Protestantism and Catholicism. We believe in the simplicity of the New Testament principles, assembly, church. That means, therefore, we have a distinctive ministry, the gospel and this New Testament presentation. What a privilege it is when people come and say, is there anything we can do? I say, well, you come with me. I'll show you what you can do. If you've got an empty case, and if you're prepared to go into any part of China, we'll supply you with the literature. We'll even help you with your train fare. And this is what you have to do. But as you go over the border, if you get caught, you'll get everything taken off you. You'll probably receive a little fine. But you being a foreigner, you won't be placed in prison normally for that. I took a very well-known full-time worker from Queensland, quite a very, very well-known brother. And I said to him, now we're going over the border, come with us and carry a case. We have the little wheelie cases, you know, you pull the handle, fill it full, and you can get in a lot of literature in one of those, and look very nonchalant as you pull it along. I said to him, whatever you do, you don't know me. Whatever you do, you don't know the other workers. Because if you're caught, don't drag down others with you. What did he do? As soon as he went through, because he kerfuffled, because he must look straight ahead, look as though you're there with a purpose, you're there on business, he was caught. And so the first thing he did was call out, Silas! And Brother Jack! And so, of course, they were arrested along with him too. And then all of the cargo taken away. For more than 20 years, I've been able to visit all of the provinces of China. I've been able to carry very wonderful literature to Beijing for Tibet. For we have some brothers and sisters who are so exercised for those exiles who come down to visit the Panchen Lama, the second to the Dalai Lama, in Beijing. And they wait and visit and pass on literature surreptitiously, even there. It's been wonderful to see even North Korea, one of the most repressive communist regimes today, is able only to be reached through communist China. For many of them come in through North, they cannot come down to South Korea, they can come into China searching for food, searching for job opportunities before they are deported back. Some of them even make their way down to Canton, down to Guangzhou. I think I've told you on another occasion that I've been able to baptize believers, those who've been saved, in children's swimming pools, in flats, before they returned back to North Korea. What a joy, what a privilege. For as you know, North Korea is the most repressive. Cuba is not very grand. Myanmar, the old Burma, and Vietnam. Occasionally I go to Vietnam, to Ho Chi Minh City. There are many Chinese there. And it's wonderful to see the same thing. Brothers and sisters who are not afraid to suffer for Christ. One brother, we were preaching in his home every night. He has a kindergarten and in the day. Nighttime he uses it for meetings. We had a large crowd in. I said to him, you know, although you secretly bring us in, you put a helmet on our head, put us on the back of a pillion passenger on a motorcycle, even though you do that, surely you'll be detected. He said, yes. Yes. He said, but we're ready for that. He said, I have been able to teach myself to become a lawyer from the many times I've been put in prison. And so now he's able to cope with the legal system itself. But these men and women are willing and face the fact that under such a condition they must suffer for Christ. I suppose that is why the original men and women who brought the gospel to these fair lands, when it was always regarded as the great lucky country, they didn't regard themselves as a victim of circumstances. They looked upon themselves as witnesses. They'd stepped out in faith. They'd stepped out believing that they had the only message for a perishing world. Surely that's where we are today also. There is no hope. There is no hope for China. How I have shed tears with brethren who can say what I cannot say. I've been with them as they've wept and wept for China, as children of God, and have said, "Oh God, there's no hope for China. What is there ahead of us but civil war and annihilation? Except for Jesus Christ. Except for the gospel of God's saving grace." I'm so glad that among many of you there has always been room in your heart to pray for the world's most populous nation, China. Please continue to do so. Pray for India. Pray for those who, even among our own brethren and sisters, have had to lay down their lives for Christ. Do I proclaim with my life what is true, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Am I a witness or am I a victim? Only we can answer those questions. Have I sunk down deep roots into the reality that all power, all authority is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, and that we can go forth in His name and carry the gospel? Of course, the one who carries the message must be sent for. Pray therefore, and who is He? Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth. That word pray is a very wonderful word, a very strong, entreating word. Pray. Pray. You say we need labourers for Australia? Brethren, when do we last pray it earnestly in our prayer meetings? Pray. Entreat the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth labourers into His harvest. That send, that word there, send, is the very strong word of thrust forth. May it be cast out like a ball. May God cast out labourers into His harvest today, even at this late hour. For the most important thing is souls saved. I would give all of my life to have been used in some way for the salvation of one soul in China. It is all worth it to see one really saved, one really willing to lay down his life for Christ. What a joy, what a privilege, what an honour to see that there are men and women today who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, all authority given unto Him.